You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message is Pastor Ralph.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. We are in the book of Philippians. What we know about this book is that Paul wrote it to reinforce the believers. He wanted them to understand they're complete in Christ, just like we're complete in Christ. Don't need to add nothing. There's some folk want to add something to your life. But in reality, if you're sure enough saved, you don't really need anything added to it. We know this is also one of his prison epistles, one of the letters he wrote while incarcerated. And I love the fact that he's incarcerated, but he's encouraging those that are free. My introductory verses, I generally tend to start with that. And I'm going to be in chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 of the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. At this time, or during this time, there were some false teachers that were coming in, and they were similar to what Brother Tracy was looking at in Galatians. They were trying to add works and trying to add different various things, and Paul wants them to know, wants us to know that we're complete, and he begins in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
And he reads here, and I'm reading out of the King James Version. He says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. So Paul's writing his letter. He's writing to the rank and file, also writing to the leadership of the churches. He goes on, verse 2, he says, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that word grace. He's talking about God's favor that he has given to us. And in fact, that's the only reason why we are saved, because God bowed down, sent his son to die in our stead. And his love for us, his grace, incorporated us into his kingdom by the finished works of Jesus Christ. He also mentions here peace. And I always say, when I see the word peace in the New Testament, that we can have no peace without the Prince of Peace. And by the way, that's Jesus Christ. We were talking a little earlier in regard to, you have no choice in preaching if you're called to do it. And no, you don't have to do it. But if you don't do it, you're not going to get God's peace, because he's called you to do it. Some of you guys have neighbors or friends that he's touching your heart in regard to speaking to them about the gospel. Sometimes we resist it. Sometimes we don't want to do it. But you're not going to have no peace until you do what God has called you and told you to do. Amen? He says in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. It says, for you all, making requests with joy. And listen, Paul had a great ministry of fellowship with these guys. In fact, they clicked from the moment he met them, and he loves them and had great joy, because he knows, even though he's not with them, he knows that they are carrying on and doing the will of God and doing what they're supposed to be doing. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He goes on, verse 6, and this is a great memory verse. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And look, that's not a promise from Paul. That's a promise from the good hands people, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That this thing has started in Christ, is going to continue in Christ while we're here on this earth. And look, when we leave here, Paul said that die is gain, is only going to get better. And look, it was because of his grace and his mercy and his blessing us to know who his son is, we now have this privileged position in Christ Jesus. And by the way, we're the minority, because the majority don't know what we know, but God has blessed us to know it. And we thank God for that. He's included us into a spiritual family and made us, in fact, calls us his church. Amen? Amen. He says, in fact, verse 6 again, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, question, are we always acting righteous? God's still working out in your life, though. Do we always do the right thing? And listen, no matter whether you say no or not, or yes, we don't do the right thing. Are we always being Christ-centered in our being? Are we always living for Christ? Are we always doing right by our spouses and by our wives? And the answer is no. But this thing that has started in you from the finished works of Jesus Christ, he's going to switch that around. He's going to turn that around. And when if you're out sinning, he's going to convict you. He's going to minister to you. And if need be, if you're unsaved, he's going to convert you. But it starts with him, and it only gets better and better and better. In verse 7, he says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart. Again, love these guys. He says, insomuch as in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all, he says, are partakers of my grace. And look, imagine this guy's incarcerated. He's locked up. And he's still calling it grace because he's still in Christ. And God, wherever he went, even when he was incarcerated, he's still ministering to folk. He's still telling them about Jesus Christ. And look, many times he was jailed or chained to a jailer, and he had a captive audience, and every moment, every day, he's telling them about Christ's goodness. And he still calls it grace, because what he though he had that plan on being in that jail and being that part of his missionary journey, God included it in his missionary journey. And because he's there, he's still preaching Christ. Wherever he sends you as a believer, you're still on the mission field. Whatever you're doing as a believer, you're still on the mission field. Whoever he sends you in front of, if he sends you in front of princes or kings or someone religious accolade, you're still on the mission field, and you still need to let them know who you are and whose you are. And if they don't know him, you need to let them know about the one that has saved your soul. Amen. Guys, I would ask that you be prayerful with me. I like to title my sermons, and this particular series is called Jesus, the Author and Finisher of Our Faith. And Father, as we dive into this book even a little more, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will hide me behind your cross. And Father God, allow these that are here to not just see me and to hear me, Father God, but to hear the truth that you're going to speak through me. Father God, we know that we all are in need of growth. We all are in need of more understanding from your word. And my prayer is that you will give that to us today in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch and bless, minister to us. And Father God, allow even the words that come out of my mouth to minister to me as well, as I pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. And amen. Chapter 2, if you would, flip right to chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul begins to speak about some things, and he begins with the word if, a two-letter word. And in reality, he's presupposing that if you're a believer, that these things are true. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, he says, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if and he bows in mercy. And again, for sure, as a believer, man, we've been blessed by all these things. And he's saying, because of that, look at verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, and be ye, look what he says, like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Anybody here from California? Anybody from Alabama? Georgia? And some of y'all all Floridians, you're from Georgia. My point being is that we're all from different places in the world. We're all from different backgrounds. We're all from different families. And listen, we're raised up different in various ways. But man, he's saying that in verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, being like-minded. Look, he's not talking about the mind of my mother or my father, but he's talking about the mind of Christ. We all came to faith in him by believing on his finished work. And from that basic place, we ought to all be like-minded. He says in verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love. And he's talking about the love of Christ. Guess what? He loved you first. And now you got his love in you by his Holy Spirit. He said, being of one accord, of one mind. And he's talking about the mind of Christ. Man, we can all look and look at a project and say, well, we should do it this way, or we should do it that way. But man, when it comes to being God's child, when it comes to being a Christian, sin should never enter into the picture. And look, if you catch me sinning, you need to come to me and say something. And if I catch you sinning, I need to come to you and say something. And that is because I love you too much to allow you to go the way of the world. He says in verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And he goes on in verse 3, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And look, he's talking about a self-serving motives. And guys, we can be that sometimes. Sometimes it's all about me and my flesh raises up. But he says, we ought not be there. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. He said, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And listen, that's a supernatural attitude. That's something that we get from the Lord. We don't naturally have that. Some folk are. But for the most part, we are a selfish people. And for the most part, many just simply say, it's all about me. I got mine. I hope you get yours. But he's saying in Christ, man, if I see that you have a need, I ought to be able to come and assist you in that need. If I've got something I can help you with. Even sometimes when I might have to do it out because I see that your need is greater than mine. And looking at myself in my flesh, I can't do that. Don't know how to do that. But man, with Christ's Spirit living inside of me, I don't have to be selfish anymore. Because if I give to you, I already know God takes care of me. In some kind of way, he's going to bless me even much more than he blessed me before. He goes on, he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I love that, man. He says, who being in the form of God, though it thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And we saw before in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he's talking about none other than the living Word himself, Jesus Christ. He's God the Son. And then he left his abode in heaven, and he came down through the vessel of a woman, which was a low descent for God. And he was born through her, and he went through all he went through on this earth, and he died on the worst or in the worst way possible on the cross, allowing men to kill him. And again, got low on purpose, because he knew if he didn't do it, there's no way I'd make it to heaven. If he didn't do it, there's no way nobody would make it to heaven, because that little thing with them animals, that was just to cover up sin. It wasn't going to get me to get to God's heaven. He says, let this mind, verse 5, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And guys, by the way, a servant, man, a bond servant, he's subject to the whims and the orders of his master. He did that and did not have to do it, but he did that out of love, and that love he had for me. And if you're saved, that love he had for you. And he did that, willingly did that, and did not have to. He said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And again, got low on purpose. Wasn't an accident. I heard a preacher say one time, and we need to be mindful of Christ's spilt blood. But guys, understand, you spill something, that's by accident. But when you shed something, you do that on purpose. And he didn't accidentally spill his blood. He shed his blood and allowed them to bleed him so he could die and raise again so they could pay for my sin, a sin that it was not his, but he took it anyhow. Past, present, and future, so that I, hallelujah, even in time, could be free. He says in verse 8, and being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. And listen, again, that crucifixion was the worst way possible that you could die. You're hanging up there. You got holes in your hands, holes in your feet. And from that position, you can't breathe. And to get any air, you got to pull yourself up on these hands that have nails in them and push yourself up on feet that got nails in them and go by air and fall right back down, whoosh, just to live a few more seconds. And then you just had to tie the arms up because the arms would rip, the nails would rip out of the hands. The worst possible death, he did that. And he did that for you. And he did that for me. And I got to tell you, man, every time I get the mind to want to go against something that he's telling me to do, every time I get the mind to want to go back to sinning, I think about what he did for me and what it cost him. And then I can only see his face in my mind. And I said, I can't go back there because he paid too much to set me free.
Amen.
And by the way, paid too much to set you free. And there's no way I'm going to give him a slap in the face by me going back into the things of the world. Now, do I sin? Yes, sometimes I still do. And it breaks my heart because I know it breaks his heart. And I ask for his forgiveness. And I repent of that sin. And I get back on that road called straight, man, because I can't keep disappointing my Lord. He says in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and yes, he did, and given him a name that is above every name. And by the way, guys, there is no name higher in this world or in the world to come. He said that at the name of Jesus, verse 10, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And again, he went through all that and came back victorious, and God raised him in the, up from the dead. And it says, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And listen, Revelation 6 and 1 says, either you're going to bow now or you're going to bow later. But everybody is going to bow.
Amen.
It's going to happen. And listen, you would do better to bow now as he's touching your heart in regard to whatever you're involved in. And look, we need to relent of all that mess and turn loose all that other mess and serve Christ with everything we got. Because this temporal mess out here on this world is not worth it. It just is not worth it. Not to mention, God, we've been through all that mess, worldly mess. We've been there, done that. And some of us still had a t-shirt to prove it. But now we're in Christ. How about we get a PhD in him? How about we learn of him? How about we serve him with everything that we got? How about we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, here I am. I don't have much, but whatever it is yours. Where you want me to go, and what do you want me to do? Man, God has had me the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, wake up in the morning just praying. I pray for this ministry. All those names on that sheet, I pray over them. And whoever God brings my heart, I pray because it's praying time. And guys, I look at our world, and I see what's going on. And it ain't pretty. And I even think about our election we just went through. And I think of a man, man, that that he was accused of this, and they tried to ramrod him in the prison here and ramrod him in the prison there, and he was still holding on, and they tried to take this from him, and they tried bring up that woman that he was dealing with, and look at what he was dealing with. He needs to hold, be accountable to it. And then somebody had an audacity to try to kill him, and if he turned his head one way or the other, we would not even be talking about him. But here he is, and they thought that it would never happen, and hallelujah, they thought this thing would go on for days and days, and by 3 o'clock in the morning, it was over.
Amen.
And listen, whether you're for Trump or against Trump, that's not my rap here. My rap is that God's hand has moved and said something and spoke, and guess what? The nation has spoken as well. And we need to honor what the nation has said. And for 4 years, this man is going to be in office. I have no idea what he's going to do or how he's going to do. But what I do know is that God's hand was in the midst of that. And because of that, I'm going to do what I can do in regard to being a Christian. I'm going to say that, okay, we got a reprieve. We got a little bit more time. I don't know. I might die tomorrow. But what I do know is that today, I need to be telling folk about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today, I got some issues over here, some stuff I've been playing with. I need to leave that alone today. There's some things in my house that need to get in order. I need to put them in order today. And there's some folk that need to hear about Christ, and I can't much care whether or not they want to hear it or don't want to hear it. I need to give it to them, because if I love them, then I need to let them know they're on their way to hell today. Because God's moving. God's moving in this little group right here. God's doing something right here. And look, I was thinking and praying for Tracy earlier. And look, I don't know how long that thing has been in his heart. I don't know how long he was pondering even starting this group. But what I know is it was like a pregnant woman, and that thing was rising up. And then ultimately he said, I got to do it. Whoever's coming is coming. But Lord, I hear you, and I got to be obedient. Hallelujah, guys. And here we are. And who knows where this thing is going to go. And God has you as part of it. Has me as part of it. And we need to, with everything we got, not only be sold out for this ministry, if we're going to be part of it, but sold out for the cause of Christ. Because he's working. In these last and evil days, he's working. And he's doing something, guys. And guess what? He's included you in his plans. And we need to let him use us to the fullest. He says, in verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, he says, much more in my absence. Paul says, I'm not there. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And listen, what he's saying, he's not saying you saved yourself, but what he is saying, that if God has saved you, that there's something he's called you to do. And with reverence of him and fear of him, we need to do whatever that is. I don't know what yours is. You might not know what mine is, but I got to do it with everything I got. And I got to hit it with both barrels, man, because I don't know how much time I got. I don't know how much time this world has. I don't know when that last Gentile is going to be saved, but I guarantee you, if he comes my way, he's going to get a dose. And he ought to get a dose when he comes your way.
Amen.
And there are folk in our family that need to hear about Christ. And many times we stop and don't say nothing to them because we don't want to offend them. Guys, what will offend them is if they die and go to hell. That's offensive. But man, if we give them Jesus Christ, they might get mad at you, but hallelujah, you did what you were supposed to do. And prayerfully, those seeds that were planted would generate and take root and turn into something that begins to look like Jesus Christ. He says in verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not always in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," he says, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And again, a specific work that God has called you to do, work it out. "For if God, it is God," he says in verse 13, "that worketh in you, both to will and to do," look what he says, "of his good pleasure." In other words, guys, I had a secular boss, but I don't have him anymore. I got a new boss. And my new boss is Jesus Christ. Amen. And he gives me orders, and sometimes they supersede my secular boss's orders. Sometimes he sends me places I really don't want to go. Sometimes he wants me to preach a sermon to folk I really don't want to talk to. Sometimes he wants me to go and talk to folk who are unlovely, but I remember I was once unlovely, and he spoke to me, so I got to speak to them as well. And give them what was given to me, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on, he says in verse 14, "As we minister, as we out and about, do all things without murmurings and disputings." He said, and the reason, he said, "that we may be blameless and harmless," in other words, innocent of any man's blood, "the sons of God without rebuke. In the midst," look what he says, "and this is our generation, a crooked and perverse nation, among whom," look what he says, "ye shine as lights in the world." And listen, I pray it's true of me, I pray it's true of you, that when the world sees you, they see something different, not evil different, but righteously different, and they might not can't understand it, but hallelujah, God does. And just in case they come to you and say, "Brother, what's different about you? I notice on the job everybody's cussing and telling dirty jokes. You don't get involved. Everybody's buying lottery tickets and gambling and doing this and that, and you kind of stay away from that. Well, why is that?" And in sense, they're asking you about the hope that you had in your heart. And you can sit down and tell them about the God-man, Christ Jesus, who saved your soul one day. And because of that, your home is now in heaven, that you're simply passing through this land that's temporal. And you can let them know that because of him, you're now free to not do those things that they want to be involved in, because Christ has set you free. He goes on in verse 16, he says, "holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain." He says, "neither labored in vain." And Paul is saying, "hey, look, I'm sitting up here in the jail cell, and I know you guys love me, I know you pray for me, and I look at my life, man, and I look at the ministry, that one that I helped to plan, and man, you guys are on fire for the Lord, and you're going here and telling folks about Christ over there, and the ministry is growing even though I'm not there. And look, if God decides to take me right now, I already know I've done everything that God has called me to do, and I'm ready. But if he does not take me, hallelujah, you let them mess around and let me out of here. I'm going to show you something." Because he's on fire for the things of the Lord. Guys, go with me. Just mark that page. I might get back here. I'm not sure. But go with me to Romans 12. Very familiar passages of Scripture. And I just want to read a few of these verses.
You have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.